All right, brother, the floor is yours.
Stage. Good morning, everybody. Well, this is either going to be really short or it's going to be really long. I don't know. So I know it's football season. I see the jerseys came back. So got fantasy football going on. So if I can't check my phone, you can't check your phone, okay? My brother's here today. Amen. So if he has a good face, it means his football team's doing good or something. I don't know. Before I start the word, it's good to see Michael here again. It's good to see you, brother. It's good to see my brother's family, his wife and his daughter here. And last night, Janisa blessed us with her presence. This is her first time here at church, so we're going to give her a hand clap. It's always good to see the youth here tonight. I mean, this morning. Sorry, I say tonight because Saturday nights. So I'm just going to start with a word of prayer, if y'all can just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Father God. We thank you for a beautiful worship service, Father God, this morning, Father God, for you just showing up, Father God, and you always being faithful to us. And we thank you, Father God, and it's wonderful to trust in that you'll always show up, Father God. And I just thank you for your comfort, Father God, and I thank you for all the souls that are here today, Father God. Bless the souls that aren't here today. Be with them wherever they may be, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you guys know, with the recent rains and Hurricane Harvey, I kind of wanted to touch on that. I know last week we did an extra collection for that, and I thought that was pretty neat to be able to help out. You know, every penny counts. I truly believe that, and you know, seeing all that stuff on the news, Pastor Elias briefly talked about that. Last week, it's wonderful to be able to help. You know, many of us want to help, but help it doesn't happen by itself. You know, it has to come from somewhere. And you know, one of the things that I noticed was Walmart had contributed. I believe it was about $20 million, up to $20 million, and for Hurricane Harvey. But this pretty cool dude I know named J.J. Watt, he went and he started his own fundraiser. My son's got on his jersey. He went and he plays for the Houston Texans, so he's with the community, and he stepped up to the plate. You know, and he started raising funds and reaching out, and just it started at 500,000 and it went to 1 million, and it went from like 1 million to 5 million. And next thing you know, he was at 10, he was at 12, he was at 13, and the next thing you know, he was at $25 million, and it was wonderful just for that area. And the beautiful part about that was I was thinking about it. It's like, man, Walmart donated $20 million. Walmart, like, you know, probably the biggest business there is, right? They donated $20 million, and J.J. Watt, this one guy, went and was able to do 25, and so Walmart was like, well, you know, they started flexing their guns, right? And so then they went ahead and they said, well, you know what? For every dollar we're gonna continue this. So whatever, for every dollar you raise, we're gonna double that. So I don't know what number they're at, but I'm pretty sure it's a big number, and that's just. That's just awesome because they wanted to help. JJ wanted to help. And then Walmart says, you know what? I'm going to help out even more. You know, and we all want to help. And the thing is that it has to come from somewhere. It has to come from somewhere. And there's always a source. There's always a source. And, you know, seeing the news, there was a reporter and the ladies like on the side of the expressway, y'all might have seen it. And some sheriff guy just passes by with a boat, and there's a guy stuck in an 18-wheeler, and the news reporter flags down the sheriff with the boat and says, hey, can you go help out that guy in the 18-wheeler? And And, you know, the first responders, the sheriffs, the police officers, the EMS, the firefighters, you know, they're helping out with those situations. It's pretty neat, you know. And I was thinking about, like, first responders, you know, they just don't jump in their car. I remember many summers ago, we went on vacation. And I remember waking up early on Sunday morning and hearing a sermon online on my phone, and it was talking about first responders, and it mentioned that police officers don't just jump in their car and start driving around. The same thing with the paramedics, the same thing with the firefighters, the sheriffs, and so on and so forth. They go to roll call. They have a roll call. They report somewhere, and they get their route. They get their updates. They get their information. They are informed with what they need to look out for. And then so when they go out on their route, you know, their shift, every now and then they hear from dispatch. They hear from dispatch, and you hear it on the radio. And I know Raymond's doing his thing with the firefighters, and he carries around a radio. And, you know, it's dispatch, and they report to him. And the police officers have it, the EMS have it, and the EMS redirects them, right? So they get a route to go, and usually that route it involves like a donut place or Whataburger or something. But that's besides the point. But they get a route, and so you have a police officer patrolling a certain area, and another police officer patrolling a certain area. They spread out, but when an emergency happens, They get a call from dispatch, and dispatch redirects them where to go. And so there's always a source. There's always a source. And those are some things that I wanted to talk about today. Some of y'all might know, and some of y'all might not know, but I recently got into a physical therapy program that I'm going to be doing, It's been an experience. Before school even started, we about three or four weeks ago, we had some workshops. And one of the big workshops was time management and preparation. And when I graduated from high school back in 2000, that wasn't even heard of, like time management, you know. Nowadays, it's a big thing because it's important. Time management and preparation is huge. And one of the speakers for one of the workshops, her name is actually Judy, Miss Judy. She's like super duper like energetic.com, and she's all about time management and planning and preparing. And she talked about space shuttles. She brought up an example about space shuttles, that space shuttles take anywhere between 2 to 6 years just to make. And in this process, it takes a process because they have to bring, you know, assemble things piece by piece. And then not everybody works on certain pieces for classifications and secrets and stuff like that. And then also funds. This stuff is expensive, right? It's got to be expensive so that it doesn't mess up when it goes up into space, right? And you know, I was thinking about it, and what she was referring to, and the reason why she brought it up was because it's a big picture plan. You know, you have this big picture plan. The space shuttle is 2 to 6 years. You have to be disciplined in it so that you can do the little things today and the little things tomorrow, and they add up to that big space shuttle. And so time management is important, and preparing is important. And so one thing that she really stressed was, like, you guys need to get a planner. Y'all need to get a planner. You need to write your schedule in the planner and you know, get like 5 different colors, and this class is green and this class is red and this class is blue, and then like your homework's like in black because you need to see it, and it's got to be bold that way you don't forget it. And so she was like stressing this planner, and The only difference between her and me was that she had like all this energy. She was like really, really into this planner. And I was like, man, I sat down and I went to Walmart. I won't lie. I went to Walmart and I got that planner and I sat down and I was like, and I wish she was like sitting beside me, like helping me, you know? But I did it. But out of all the planning stuff and the time management stuff that she talked about, she also talked about brain breaks. So I took myself a brain break. Because I don't know if y'all ever sat down to do a planner. It's not like the funnest thing to do. And it takes a lot of discipline. And it's like, man, I should be reading or studying instead of like writing it in a calendar. But in the long run, it's helped me a lot, actually. But I took myself a brain break because I was fried. My fingers hurt. They were numb. I was like, okay, and I was flipping through. I got my red pen clicker, and I got my blue pen clicker, and my green pen clicker, and then my highlighter, and so it was an experience. And so I took myself a brain break, and so I took out my phone. I didn't have my phone with me. I took it out, and I got onto YouTube, and I was thinking about it. You know, I was just like, man, like all this stuff that she's talking about. And so I Googled like space shuttles and stuff like that, and it was just on my mind. And I came across a NASA space video about launch sequences for space shuttles. And I don't know if y'all have ever seen them, man, but go to YouTube and check it out. It's pretty interesting. And so I was watching it, and I was like, man, you know, they go through this sequence. And I don't know if y'all have ever seen one, but the story behind a launch sequence isn't just like the 20 seconds. Like the launch sequence is actually like 2 days long. Like it starts like at 40 hours, 48 hours. And so they start off T minus 40 hours and counting. And you hear it, right? And you go down to 30 hours and 20 hours and 10 hours. And, you know, you start getting to the minutes and you got T minus 20 minutes And then you have 20 minutes and counting, and then you have 15 minutes, and then every now and then you have T minus 15 minutes and holding. They go from counting to holding. They stop the time. And this happens several times because they do tests. They want to reconfirm their data, their information. They want to make sure everything's okay, right? Lives are at stake. Billions of dollars are at stake. And so they go through this process, T minus 20 minutes in holding. And then they get down to about 9, 10 minutes. And then they start there's space movies out there. And they start the T minus 9 minutes, go ahead with the go, no go, sequence, right? And so they go rockets, and then they go go or no go, right? Is it good or is it not good? Is it ready to go? Oxygen levels, go. Safety precautions, go. Right, they go through a list of several things, go, no go. It's what they call it. And then they get down to T minus 20 seconds and counting. They restart the sequence, and then it's just, you know, you see the rocket, you see the camera there, and you know, they're starting to get all that smoke and everything's coming out from the, and you go T minus 15 minutes, and then the guys on the radio and the headsets, he says guidance is internal. T minus 15 seconds, guidance is internal. And he goes 12, 11, 10, 9. And then they go ignition sequence start. And the ignition starts, and you start to see all the smoke. And he goes 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All engines running. You see all that fire and everything coming from the rockets. And then finally you hear the guys say, lift off. We have lift off. And it's super exciting. I wish I had the guy's voice, but it's really, really it's really exciting and powerful to see all that. And you see people just like crazy, like cheering and stuff, because, you know, they've been building this space shuttle for 2 to 6 years, and they've been planning this thing for two days, and they've been doing all this meticulous things, you know. And just like that, boom, liftoff. And you see the shuttle go up in the air, and it's a beautiful thing. It's powerful. It's just like exciting. And it was interesting because you hear the guy on the radio and you hear the people at space station doing all the checks, and there's a source to that space shuttle. The same way there's a source when the people of Hurricane Harvey needed help, and the same way there's a source for first responders, for police officers and firefighters and EMS workers, there's a source. Everything comes from somewhere. And that source is guidance. It's direction. It's redirection. And a few years ago, I met a man. This man, he was super busy. He was super busy and he had a lot going on. And that man, every morning when it was dark out, the sun hadn't even come up yet, he would make time to pray. And this man was, he was a social guy. Like he would go out to events and he would do all these things and on top of being busy. And in the busyness of his social life and his activities, he would still make time to pray. And this man, he was a popular guy because he was just always busy and he was always everywhere but he would come across some trouble every now and then and he'd get stressed out with what he had to do and with the things that he did and he would get stressed out, you know, just like us and like all of us. And, you know, every now and then he'd have some drama around him, you know. You know, all of the youth out there, everybody knows what drama's about, right? You got some drama going on. You know, he had a lot of drama, this man. And, but in the middle of all that drama and stress and chaos, he would always find time to pray. It's amazing. And what I learned from him when I met him was that there's got to be a source. There was a source in his life that guided him and directed him. See, the police officers, they get direction when they go to roll call, but they also get redirected when they're out on the route. Hey, we got trouble over here. Redirected. So they're informed before and they're given a route and they're directed and they're redirected. They have a source. And bad things happen, you know, Hurricane Harvey. And there's a source of help. And you have this space shuttle sequence, there's a source. You got the space station just guiding them. There's a source that guides them through the process of liftoff. It's very powerful. And I want to talk about that space shuttle. Because you know what's awesome about that space shuttle? Is that after all the years of hard work, after all the hours of tests and checks, you get to a point in the sequence when they're doing the sequence and the protocol and the counting down, and they get to a number, they get to a point in the sequence where they say T-minus 20 seconds, and then the guy, you'll hear the guy, and that's when he says guidance is internal. There comes a point where the space station cannot control what's happening to the space shuttle. They have to hand off control of that space shuttle. And so the man says guidance is internal. They give control over to the people that are inside the space shuttle. And I was thinking about that because the source goes from outside to inside. Guidance is internal. guidance is internal. And when that source switches, that source has to come from within. It's not until guidance is internal that the sequence can continue, that the engines start to run, the engines turn on from inside. And it's not until the guidance is from internal that you have liftoff. You see, the people in the space station, they don't press a button and the rocket goes up in the air. It comes from within. Now, they do all the preparation and they do all the hard work and they get it ready and they do all the protocols and the system checks. But the guidance has to come from internal. The engine has to start and there has to be liftoff from within. There's got to be a source. You know, that man I met several years ago, that's that fantasy football thing I was talking about. Make sure you mute your phones. That man I met several years ago, his name was Jesus. In Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That man I met several years ago, his name is Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Shortly before that, he fed 5,000 people. He was a social guy. He had it going on. But even Jesus, made time to pray. And several years ago, I met a man. His name is Jesus. In Mark 14, verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Jesus was on the verge of being handed over and captured for crucifixion, to be crucified. Talk about drama.com, right? Stress. In the midst of all that trouble and chaos and turmoil and craziness and fear, he made time to pray. There's got to be a source. And the beautiful part about it is that his name is Jesus. And he prayed to the source. He prayed to the source. He prayed to God. And what's more beautiful is that he went to the source. He died for us. And he went to the source so that he could send us the source, the Holy Spirit. The space shuttle does not experience liftoff until the guidance is internal. Sister Ines, I asked her to sit down with me before church started because I'm used to being outside doing parking. And man, she gives me words of wisdom every Sunday. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And I asked her, I sat her down. You got to give me some words of wisdom today. And it was spot on, sister. It was spot on. And I thank you for that. Guidance is internal. There's no liftoff until guidance is internal. It happens from within. And Jesus prayed to the source. He went to the source when he was crucified. And he sent down the source, the Holy Spirit, so that we can have that guidance from within. We can study books and we can work a job and we can practice our instruments. We can do all of these things. We can work a great job. We can do all of these things. We can prepare the space shuttle. We can put it through protocol and we can have a systems check. But our lives will not experience liftoff until that guidance comes from within. There's got to be a source for liftoff. And it's easier said than done, you know. We got to trust him in everything. Right? Oh, man, Joseph don't know what he's talking about, man. Easier said than done. I tell that to myself in the back of my head when pastor's up here preaching, too. It's like, man, it's easier said than done, right? But that space shuttle, it has to be built, and it may take a while. It may take a while. But the beautiful thing about God is that he goes before us. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it says that he goes before us. He's built that space shuttle before it was even built. He gives us the energy to build it, to build up our lives, right? And easier said than done. Well, you know, Pastor Elias or Eloy or Michelle or Joseph, you know, Sister Green, Pastor Green. It's easier said than done. Oh, they pray a lot, or they read the Bible a lot, or they're good people. Well, we're all sinners. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. But the thing is that you don't have to be perfect. In the story of David, in 1 Samuel 16, in the story of David, he was the last one to be chosen for God's anointing. And the Bible says to bring forth your bring forth a son so that we can anoint him, and they brought forth the big and the bad and the strong and the experienced, and David was the last one, and he received the anointing. And the Bible also says in Matthew 20:16 that the last shall be first. You ever feel like you're always in last place? You got a lot of catching up to do. The anointing that David received, he was the last one. And that might be some of us here today. I know in my program I feel like that a lot. I'm going to ask Michelle if she can come up here and play a song for us. Lift off. There's got to be a source. There's got to be a source. Guidance is internal. In 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 27, in 1 Corinthians 1:26-27. The Bible says that, says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Ever play basketball or football in PE, and when you're in elementary and you're the last one to get picked? Yeah. What about Red Rover, Red Rover? That was the opposite, because if they picked you, they knew that when you came through the line, you were the weak one, and they knew that you wouldn't break the line. And the Bible says here, do you remember? Not many of you were wise. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. David was the last to be chosen, but he received the anointing. But God chose, in verse 27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I'm going to ask if all of y'all can stand up to your feet and just bow your heads, close your eyes, there where you're at. Is it okay if I pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for choosing everyone here in this church here today. My imperfections are imperfections. My foolishness. My weaknesses because the truth is, Lord, is that I don't qualify my life. This world does not qualify my life. You do. You do, Father God, and you did on the cross when you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Your word says that in my weakness, you are strong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, help us. Holy Spirit, fill us. Guide us to trust in you. To open our hearts, Lord. To be vulnerable. To know that this space shuttle, Father God, can go terribly wrong, but still we proceed, Father God, and still we trust in you, Father God, that all this hard work will pay off, that we're ready. We're ready. That this world and ourselves have prepared us and put us through things, Father God. But no matter what, we trust in you, Father God. And we receive you, Holy Spirit. We receive you, Holy Spirit. So that we not trust in our abilities, but in yours. That we trust in yours, Father God, because in my weakness, you are strong. In our weaknesses, you are strong. Guidance is internal. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. Have your way in our lives. We receive you. Guidance is internal. Six, five, four, three, two, one.